Welcome again to the Cosmic Weather Report with astrologer Sue Rose. We have another treat. She is reading on a cryptocurrency. And I would like to preface this with Sue Rose is not a financial advisor, nor am I. We find it very important that people do their own research and take their own risks and are okay with those risks. So what we are providing here is an astrological look at a cryptocurrency. And this is, she does offer this as a one of her services that you can find on her website. So this actually, this episode is an idea of what you might be able to expect if you wanted her to read on a coin. So today's coin, we have chosen Saitama, which has rebranded as Saitama. They were Saitama Inu. And in order to get away from the meme craze and to take themselves a little bit more seriously, they have rebranded to Saitama. So that is their name now. And I did provide her with two different dates. One was a company inception date in 2020. Also their Genesis block, which anybody can find through the Etherscan. So,
boy, is that a foreign language? And I'm sure a lot of people see astrology as a foreign language. Many lingos spoken here.
I will again say that Sue Rose knows nothing about cryptocurrency,
nothing.
Which is why these kinds of podcasts and reads are so much fun, because she is truly objective about it and doesn't hold any.
So listen, I use the July 26th chart because it's too contradictory to work with two different charts. I mean, eventually, if you like, I can look back at the other, but it gets complicated if you use two charts.
Is that the one in 2021 or 2020?
The 2021 one.
Okay, so that's
when
the Genesis
launched, right?
Yeah, that's the first transaction
that
was found on the blockchain.
Well, that's how we use the other ones, correct?
That's correct.
So I figure we might as well be consistent.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So it's funny. Everybody knows, if they've been listening, that I have an affinity to the moon and the idea of moon dance. And in this chart, in a way, you could say the moon dances because the sign of Cancer rises. And most astrologers see the rising sign, it's also known as the ascendant or the first house, as the navigational system for any chart. So if it's ruled by Cancer, we say, okay, where is the moon? And we find the moon in the eighth house of other people's money, which includes joint or collective investment. And the moon is coupled with lucky Jupiter. So that's an auspicious sign to begin with. The moon, the ruler of the chart, is in the eighth house of collective assets. This is also the house of inheritance, which also symbolically means that you're rewarded for the good you do in the world and in life. And the fact that it's close to Jupiter, that is the quintessential planet of prosperity. So I really like that indication. I'm going to look at what is in that first house. And in the first house, which is kind of like how any entity shows itself to the world, what is it advertising in the symbolic window? We have Mercury, which is the planet of mercantilism and marketing. So I see savvy marketing and mercantilism operating here. It's a wide conjunction. A conjunction is any two planets, usually within 5 to 7 degrees. The closer the bond, the stronger they are. When they're really close together, I call it the cosmic equivalent of Siamese twins. So here we have the Mercury principle of commerce coupled with the Sun. The Sun, Jupiter, and Venus are the astrology world's three most beneficial or benefic influences. So the Sun rising would be seen as auspicious. Now, the negative here is that the Mercury in Cancer, and Cancer is the public's appetite for anything and how it's marketed, is almost exactly across the zodiac, that's called an opposition, to Pluto. And Pluto does rule in normal astrology the eighth zodiac sign, which is Scorpio, and therefore has a relationship to shared monetary venues. The eighth house, again, is about joint money and inheritance. But Pluto is also the planet of the underworld. So it has a lot to do with things that happen in the dark, in secrecy, subterfuge. So Mercury is about communication. Opposite Pluto, there's going to be a lot of secrets or a lot of stuff that is not going to be above the light of scrutiny, so to speak. It'll be happening under the surface. So whether that's good or bad, kind of like that, remains to be seen. I could also say that the Sun in Leo, which again shines in the first house and makes it a star quality entity. Leo is gold. So it's like this golden energy rising in the chart. The Sun Leo is opposite Saturn, but it's a wide opposition. It's about 7-8 degrees. That means it's waning opposition. Again, the closer the 180-degree opposition, the stronger the energy. An opposition means an obstacle. And with Saturn is the planet of karma, and it's the planet of things happening slowly. Sometimes it's also the planet of government officials, bureaucrats, and some red tape. So there may be some jumps to jump over here, some hoops to jump. Hopefully nothing that will be too long-term. The energy here is Mars is in the second house of making money, and Mars is the warrior. Mars is the planet of initiating new pioneering trends, again in Leo, which has a certain showbiz, celebrity, drama to it, And it also does have an affinity to gold. Then we have Venus, which is, again, the other benefic or beneficial planet in the second house of increasing wealth and money. The Venus is in Virgo, which can serve purposes related to agriculture, healing, things that are beneficial to the cleanups of society. I would say it's a little too wide to apply, but by sign, the Venus is in a trine to Uranus. The reason I say it doesn't really apply is that Uranus is about 14, 15 degrees Taurus, and Venus is at 5 Virgo. So they're not within that 7-degree scope that would make for a perfect trine, which is the most positive auspicious angle between any two planets in astrological analysis.
You had seen that in Safe Moon's chart previously.
A lot of trines.
Grand trine.
Yeah, that's the best. Well, we don't really have a grand trine here because we don't have anything in, let's see. We have a grand trine by element because we have the Uranus Taurus, that's one of the earth signs, the Venus Virgo, another earth sign, and then the Pluto Capricorn, but they're out of numerical alignment. You know, nothing is within the 7-degree span we give to the exact aspect. But by element, it's grounded. By element, it's got a trine going. It's just not as strong as that other one that you just mentioned.
For protection and things like that.
Exactly. The two planets that meet in the eighth house, including the ruler of the chart, the moon, which is in Pisces. When we see planets in Pisces, we say, okay, what is Neptune, the ruler of Pisces, up to? And the Neptune is in a good bond to Pluto. The Neptune is situated about 23 degrees of Pisces, favoring Pluto at about 25 of Capricorn. Those are 62 degrees apart. That's called a sextile, based on the idea of the Star of David and the harmonic trines, one overlapping the other. So what this means in English is that it looks like a lot of foreign investors. It looks like people, you know, the ninth house is about global. And the Pluto is in the seventh house of partnership. That's the secrecy planet. But it's picking up support from Neptune, which is in the ninth house of, basically, that's the house of law, religion, philosophy, foreign travels, foreign persons. The legal system might be friendly to this one in time. Do you want to ask any questions?
Yeah, so I'm going to ask, a few. My first one is just a general overview. You look at this chart. What do you think, what is your
the
general
theme?
Impression? Yeah.
I didn't really get so much of a theme on this one, funny enough, but I do, with Pisces, I do get themes of hospitals, jails, institutions, ashrams, compassion, detox centers, and then the Leo planets are showbiz, stardom, star quality. You know, they may have a celebrity. They may pull a celebrity in who really helps to push this train down the hill.
Can I tell you something funny? Because you said gold so much.
Yes, I did say gold. That's Leo, too.
Their major color theme is gold.
Oh, that's cute.
It's like yellow and gold, yeah.
Oh, that's good. I like when there's alignments. The numerology on this one is 38, which means neutrality in the I Ching. Neutrality is, you know, like a lawyer who's supposed to be able to see the good in either side of the argument. It doesn't really put you on one side or the other. So neutrality could lend itself to great flexibility moving with the trends, but it doesn't really give us a commitment. Like 42 in the I Ching is bona fide increase, and the number 14 in the I Ching means prosperity. So there are numbers that have a direct affinity to financial growth. Neutrality is more like it's a wisdom number, because if we put the 3 and the 8 together, we get 11. And 11 is Aquarius, and it represents, you know, really seeing the broadest possible picture.
So do you think if they have a neutrality like that, that they have the ability to pivot as things and the market needs change or people's requests change?
And this one's going to see growth early next year when Jupiter goes back to Pisces. It's
currently
retrograde. I would say the first 4 weeks of the year.
So the
And
December,
I think they're
going to
pull
January,
in a lot of support
time.
When the Jupiter hits the moon, because that's once in 12 years. Let me look it up, but it's either January or February of 2022. I recently did the forecast for 2022. I did it in a unique way, which people will find, I think, intriguing, because I don't know of any other astrologer who does it that way. Right around the middle of January. In fact, I would say January 1 to January 21 look really auspicious for this particular coin.
2022.
Now, a couple of years later, Saturn is going to get there because Saturn and Jupiter recently joined in Aquarius, but Saturn's pace is 29 years, Jupiter's pace is 12 years. So really, you could say Saturn is a little more than twice as slow as Jupiter. So Saturn gets to this same zodiac point in, that would be April of 2023. There may be a correction then, because Saturn a lot of times represents, you know, really earthbound caution. Saturn is like where the brakes are put on. Jupiter is more the go pedal and optimism. Saturn is more caution. But Saturn can also mean things get established. If something stands up to the test of time for the next year, and like I said, January looks really good for this particular coin, about a year, a little more than a year, spring of 2023, This is where things get more serious, grounded, separating the wheat from the chaff. That's a biblical concept. But Saturn is very much about fate and very much about, you know, grounding things. So they have long-term duration or durability.
So knowing that this is a young coin, what would you say about that? Would you say that it's just...
It starts off running and then it may have a little knee injury and have to stop for a minute.
It may need to, may have some stuff it's got to fix or figure out.
At that time, yes. Now, when Jupiter gets to about 25 degrees of Pisces to favor, it hits that Neptune, favors the Pluto, I see another growth spurt on that one and possibly even more of a surge, because anytime you have a good Jupiter-Pluto, usually that is some kind of a prosperity indication. I have to look up the dates. The ephemeris has many pages. Give me a minute here to find that. That would be funny. It's also in April of 2023. So that's, I love that when that happens in astrology. That's a super yin-yang. And what's interesting about it is this chart has the moon as its ruler. The moon is in the twin sign because two fish of Pisces. And in the same month where Saturn makes the correction hitting the charts, of Saturn hitting the moon, at the same exact time, Jupiter is hitting one of the best influences between, it's a little complicated, it's called the dispositor to the moon. The moon Pisces disposits to Neptune. That means the moon answers to Neptune. So here we have the Jupiter lucky growth planet hitting that Neptune, favoring the Pluto, which is really the planet of power. And again, has an eighth house association, which is about assets that involve many people, collective assets. So the English translation on what I just said is you really get both fish in April of 2023, because you're going to have Saturn saying, wait a minute, put the brakes on. You know, where are we going here? Maybe there's going to be a lot of feedback from the investors. But then I do see growth also coming in at that same time.
Does this coin have staying power?
That's going to be the time test there.
In 23?
Yeah.
Spring. So it has staying power until then.
Oh, like totally. Totally.
It's got momentum in 2022.
You know, most of these things, because they've come about in the same time period where we've had Saturn go into Aquarius, and that started in December 2020. And then we have Uranus sitting in Taurus. So what happens is Aquarius is three signs 90 degrees away from Taurus, meaning that most of the coins that had their inception in the last 18 months are going to have a Saturn-Uranus square. And Saturn is pointing at the goat trying to get to the top of the mountain, how to achieve success in a global way. Uranus says, wait a minute, there's going to be lots of stops and starts. There are going to be a lot of interruptions and disruptions. So it's jerky. It's not a smooth ride for any of these, or maybe one of them escaped this influence.
No, I don't think so, because they run into problems all the time. They have to pivot all the time.
Pivot is a good word.
Yeah, they're constantly dealing with technical issues.
But the
and
interesting thing is
theft.
That Pisces represents Poseidon, the god of the sea. And Jupiter returns to Pisces right around New Year's Eve. Actually, I think it's December 30 this year. And then Jupiter Pisces favors this chart. And the idea of Pisces is the flow. You know what I mean? So there's going to be a lot more flowing now when Saturn gets to that moon, because Saturn is the get real planet, get down to business, get serious planet. And it's a 29-year orbit. So Saturn can only meet the moon in any chart once in 29 years. That's the one that's March of 2023. But it happens in synchronicity with Jupiter, which is the planet of faith. You can make it happen. You can visualize it. The prosperity planet favoring.
Is it possible the influence brings in people taking it seriously?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
Being like a serious contender out
yes,
there.
Yes, it does, because the growth one is happening at the yeah. same time, which will, that's going to be like, you know, I had a friend, this is a little bit off topic, but it relates by metaphor. And he was a kayak guide around Delaware and Maryland. And they were going to do some developmental project. He took people out to prove that a certain bird that was said to be extinct still existed, and darn if that bird did not show up. So sometimes a little thing can change the course.
Right.
And I think just when the Sirius, you know, the gavel is coming down, Saturn actually rules courts and judges. So when the judge is ready to put that gavel down, boom, in comes this growth spurt.
Right.
In the spring of 2023. Surprises, I think, is one word for this one. Shock value.
Do you want to know what they do?
Have no idea. Tell me.
Okay. So their main focus, first of all, I'm going to say that nobody knew anything about them. They were working in secret.
Oh, that fits that Mercury,
right?
Pluto.
They worked in secret for, they worked really, really hard, it looks like, for at least a year.
Okay.
Developing their products and services. They did not start talking about it until they were ready to launch and until their security verifications were almost complete.
Okay.
Their security verifications are quite significant. They're working with Certic. and they just now launched. And what they're doing is they're developing a suite of investment tools for the younger generation for them to be excited
that
about cryptocurrency.
That fits Leo. Leo is Apollo, the young god. I like that. It fits Leo.
Right. So they're going after the younger generation, the people who are interested in cryptocurrency. Also, it's about education, educating the investors and providing the tools necessary to be able to be an investor in this space.
Okay, so on that, I'd like to add that Uranus is high awareness. It's the top of the three air signs, meaning direct cognition. And Uranus is in the 10th house of career and like long-term professional goals. So that would really fit the educational component. And the North Node, which is the sole purpose, if such a concept can be put on an entity of this nature, is in Gemini, which is commerce, communication, teaching, learning, writing, and sales.
And I should tell you, their number one thing that they want to do is to stop FUD amongst the community. So what they do is they really, really honor communication. They're constantly available to answer
questions.
I've got
to say, I got a
mixed
vibe on that one for two reasons. First of all, the ruler of the chart, which is the moon, Pisces, is in the eighth house, which is the normal Scorpio house, i.e. secrets and not everything being clear. Secondly, guess what sign it's in? Pisces. So that's the double sign. So my feeling is that there's, you know how they say that, you know, corrupt corporations always have two sets of books, one they show to the IRS and then they keep a separate set. I don't think everything's going to be transparent here.
Well, probably not the scary stuff, right? Like, oh, we got to fix this before we launch. Let's not tell anybody.
Okay. I mean, I think Uranus in the 10th house is very, very good. It's a planet. Basically, Uranus is Aquarius, which is shocks and electricity. You can't hide your light under a bushel. Ditto for planets in Leo, a fire sign. So obviously, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to come out. It just seems to me, though, the Pisces planets are going to keep some things. Maybe it's like you said, security code stuff I could never understand in a million years, in a more like a kind of like symbolic Fort Knox.
Yeah.
Okay. That would fit.
Yeah. Because we wouldn't know, like, the troubles they've seen. You know what I'm saying? We just know the products are secure.
And then I just got that because next year, when I say God, I mean an intuitive pulse came through me. I believe you can progress an entity's numerology the same way I would a human being. So if it's 38 neutrality when it started in 2021, it's going to be 39 challenges next year. And we could look at the three as immediate sales and the nine as more global. Again, I see a potential bifurcation. That may be what happens in March. There may be a part of this entity that wants to stay more like localized and have a different vision for what it is, and another part that maybe branches off. We saw this with others because we're dealing in a time period with a lot of Pisces energy happening.
So that's interesting you say that because a lot of teams are decentralized. They don't even know each other. This team has formed and committed to being a company together and development team together. So they
may get so big it may branch anyway. I use that metaphor of the judge with the gavel, you know, kind of making a verdict. I think March next year is really important. I see a lot of growth in the beginning of 2022, and I see maybe, you know, Pisces is the idea of the ocean. So a sailor has to trim the sails, and Saturn is about seriousness and long-term development. Maybe there's some challenge or redefinition happening around that time.
So that's very exciting. So for a coin that's, or token, that's way, way, way under a penny in cost.
Oh, wow.
This would be...
How could you lose?
This would be about getting in really early right now in these inception days. And let me just ask you one quick question before we wrap this up. This will be like a little cherry on top.
Okay, cherries. Okay.
Do you see in this particular case during the September into end of October time period, any influence that may help them?
Well, it's interesting because we have a new moon coming up in Virgo, and that's on September 7, and that will hit the money house of this chart, and very close to its Venus, and Venus is money.
So
that looks pretty good. Then we have the full moon at the same time, which will agitate the eighth house of this chart, and actually I have to look up the full moon date. It's not too far up the road. That would be on the 20th of September. I could see some growth come in on the fact that there's a new moon and a full moon hitting the second house of funds and the eighth house of other people's money.
Do you see any problems in November, December, or any harsh influences during those times?
Let me find when Mars goes opposite the Neptune, because Neptune is one of the secondary rulers of the chart, and Mars does mean warfare, or certainly ego. I call it border skirmishes among egos. Let me find when that would be. Well, actually, that's this week. It'll be interesting to see, well, around September 3 to 6, let's see what happens among some of the key players, because there may be some, this will be the precursor, I think, to what happens in the spring of 2023, because remember that Neptune rules Pisces, it's two fish. Mars agitates, it's agitating both fish. That usually means division, disunion, different visions, you know, this idea of splitting apart. So there's some energy around that. It may be sort of like a crack that doesn't, you know, fully metastasize until spring of 2023. But I could see that, you know, really pretty soon, like September 1 to 3.
Okay, that will be interesting.
Remember, that's when I said I saw a hurricane in another podcast, and guess what? Maybe
Boom.
A day early.
Yeah.
But there's one head. Mars could be a little earlier than usual, but it's going against Neptune. And that's the warrior against the god of the sea. And the sea sometimes means currency, the flow of things.
All right. So in summary, we can look at some sparks of what's to come for their future taking.
Well, let me give you a good date when the sun will be favoring the Neptune-Pluto from this chart. And I believe that'll be around November 12. I just want to make sure my math is accurate. More like November 13 to 16 of this year. This growth energy on those dates too. And there's also growth energy when Jupiter, when the sun goes into Sagittarius and favors the sun Leo, and that would be right before Thanksgiving, like on November 24, 26. I see some positives in November.
Oh, good. Okay, that's fun. All right, cool.
And
so
you know,
there's some good spots.
I've never tested the astrology on something like this.
Well, we're going to find out.
Interesting, you know. Let's do one more. When the sun hits the nodes, and the nodes represent the karma, you know, of any entity. And that would be, I need it on the ninth degree. Sorry, friends, I have to turn through the book of time to get to these dates. November 1, 2. Those are dates people interested in this should write down.
Of 2021.
Yes, exactly.
There's a lot of dates you provided. Thank you. That's
You're
really
very
cool.
Welcome.
I look forward to, I'm going to write these down and I'm going to put them on a calendar and I'm going to see.
And I want to learn how to buy this kind of stuff because, you know, we may need a fail-safe against monetary fiat currencies.
We may.
I know we do. I just don't want to depress or scare the heck out of people, especially people with pension funds and everything they have and
Well, hopefully
paper
those
stocks.
Funds will be, you know, migrated over.
Somebody
frankly.
Should start migrating
yeah,
before
sure
we get in
are.
On the gold rush, though,
I'm
right?
I'm sure they are.
After the flood.
Okay, well, thank you again, Sue Rose,
You're
for
welcome.
Everything. You can find her products and services on her website at SueRoseAstrology.com.
Spelled SIOUXROSC. A lot of people think SUE.
Okay, and also you can see the link at the bottom in the summaries of the podcast and also the video. Okay, everybody, how do you say, may the stars be with you?
May the stars be with you. Remember in the Hunger Games, what was it? And may ever the odds be in your favor,
yeah.
right? That
yes.
was pretty, when they know somebody's going to die,
yeah.
that was pretty horrific.
That's not what we mean by
All right, God bless everybody.